Good morning. Welcome to A Healthier You. I'm your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Fawn. And today, as always, we're going to talk about ways of making you healthier. Good morning, Fawn.
Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, it's a nice day, isn't it?
It is.
We've been getting good weather, and it's just really great.
A January thaw, for sure.
January thaw, for sure.
But I wish we'd have more snow in the valley.
Today
we can try out the new snowblower.
Right. Today we're going to talk about blood sugar, but before that, we need to really talk about our sponsors.
Okay, our sponsors are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And as always, they have a wonderful wheatgrass formula, Wheatgrass Formula 7, put out by Spencer Masterson in both locations that has really taken off like wildfire. They... The combination seems to really work well and helping give that extra boost of energy. And his maximum metabolizer, along with it, just seems to, is a catalyst for it. It just works really well. That extra energy, people have been losing weight on both of these combinations. It's a great combination.
And one of the important things is that they get the nutrients that are lacking in the basic American diet.
That's right, and wheatgrass is so full of good things anyway. If you don't like the taste of the wheatgrass juice, I mean, you can go in and buy a little cup of wheatgrass juice at either location, at 160 South State of Norm or 188 South Main in Springville. But if you don't like the taste of the juice, go in and, you know, try it in the capsule form. But, you know, we all know that wheatgrass is just full of all kinds of things that we need. It's very high in chlorophyll, 70% chlorophyll.
And, you know, what is chlorophyll? Chlorophyll is the blood of the plant.
That's right.
And it's the same as blood, except, you know, it's almost the same as blood, except it's from the plant.
You know, and science has proven that chlorophyll arrests growth and development of unfriendly bacteria.
Okay.
You know, so here we've got a natural blood of the plant that really is a benefit to our bodies as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we could go on for hours and hours saying all the wonderful things wheatgrass does. But instead of us doing it, go in and try it, and you'll feel that extra zap of energy.
Yeah, you will. In fact, I'm feeling a little lack of energy from not being able to ride my mountain bike.
Well.
So, at any rate, blood sugar problems seem to be very prevalent in our type of society. And it must be due to the foods we eat. The medical profession doesn't really seem to recognize hyperglycemia in the same way that we do, or hypoglycemia, which would be hyperglycemia being a high level of sugar in the blood, and hypoglycemia being a low amount of sugar in the blood. The medical profession tends to think that condition only exists with people with diabetes, and it's when they're off of their insulin or they're sick or have an infection or something, then they see this condition. However, we in the health field have known for a long time that not just hyperglycemia or hypoglycemia exists, but a combination of the two, that the body fluctuates between hyper and hypoglycemia, that the blood sugar levels really do need to be stable, and when they're out of that stability, then these conditions exist, and it's very, very evident, especially in people's behavior. One of the things with high blood sugar, you'll notice, is that it's more of a lethargic feeling. When you have too much sugar in the blood and not enough insulin, then you drag, and you can see that a lot. And so people tend to correct that with caffeine products or with sugar products, just, you know, which is strange. You know, if you got too much sugar in your blood, that'll happen. And we'll talk about the mechanism there. But then with hypoglycemia, it's not enough sugar. And when that happens, then the person becomes very erratic. In fact, it'd be very hard to distinguish someone with hypoglycemia from someone that's mentally insane.
Could this be, last week, just before the program ended, we had a caller that said that there was a problem with a young man with terrific mood swings every day, these wide variety of mood swings. Could blood sugar problems be a detriment there?
I think very definitely that might be a problem.
So that might be a place that they can look.
Yeah. What happens is, when we eat normal, wholesome food, the blood sugar rise is very, very gradual. But when we eat sugar-laden foods and high simple carbohydrate foods that break down into sugar quickly, then what happens is that we get a very quick rise in blood sugar, which is really abnormal for the way the body's supposed to work. See, the way it's supposed to work is the food's supposed to be broken down. It goes to the liver. The liver stores the glycogen and releases it as the adrenal glands tells it to us. It says we need the energy throughout the day. The liver would then release it. And with that mechanism, the pancreas then would get the signals to release the amount of insulin it needs according to what the liver is releasing. And together, those two chemicals is what supplies the energy for the body. Now, if we take and bypass that functioning, then what happens? We take these high concentrated sugary foods, and the blood sugar level goes up without even going through the liver, and so the blood sugar rises without the signal from the liver that is releasing sugar, and so then the pancreas then with the high rise of sugar in the blood, then has to react to that, and a lot of times that sugar is burned up and used before the insulin actually gets there, and so then you got a high insulin level in the blood, and so you get this quick rise and it's low and highs and lows and highs and lows, and it really throws off our chemistry. If we ate a good balanced wholesome diet, you wouldn't have those peaks and valleys and peaks and valleys and peaks and valleys. And I think a lot of people carry their mugs of caffeinated beverages around to try to level things out because things are going up and down so much. And by having sugar in the system all the time, then that tends to, have more of a leveling effect, I guess, with it way up here. But at least it's not the high, low, high, low, high, low. It's just,
so they're on a soda pop diet.
Yeah, really. and you see that all the time.
You do, every time. I mean, even in the middle of winter, they've got these big gulps hanging around with them.
Right. But when the body's deprived of sugar, the glycogen that it needs for energy, it first affects the brain. And because that's principally needed, for the functioning of the brain. That's the first place it's needed. And thought patterns become irrational. Actions become very irrational. And people act in ways they normally wouldn't act when they have a low blood sugar level, a high insulin level. And so this rise and fall and rise and fall and rise and fall tends to be a real problem. And easily resolved from getting back into a wholesome diet. We don't say four basic food groups. We say a wholesome diet, eating foods in their whole state. Not buying packages and things, but buying whole foods.
So you're getting back to fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, and seeds.
Yeah. Now here's some interesting information about the nutrition or malnutrition in typical healthy Americans. The average annual consumption of low nutrient foods. The average American eats 756 donuts a year.
That many? I don't eat that many.
Well, I don't either. So that means somebody out there is eating 1,400 donuts
for each
of us.
My goodness. Wow, that's a lot of donuts.
That's a lot of donuts, yeah. Yeah, see, these are averages, and so you have to consider there's a number of people like us that don't eat.
I feel lucky if I get 5 donuts a year.
Yeah, and so the average consumption is 756 donuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Which means some people are getting 1,400, maybe 2,800 donuts a year.
Oh, my goodness. What else do you have there?
I guess the police force probably contributes a lot to that,
I guess so.
Look at this. The average American, this is the average typical healthy American, eats 60 pounds of cakes and cookies a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you get your average of that?
I feel really deprived.
The average American eats 23 gallons of ice cream a year.
Oh, now, see, that's something I could really go for.
Oh, come on.
But I don't get that.
Well, but you don't need it either, do you?
No. Because
What do they have at the herb shop?
This is so neat. I'm glad you brought up that ice cream because I have been a real ice creamaholic, if there is such a word, growing up eating ice cream.
Well, there is for you, isn't there?
There is for me. But I have been able to give up my ice cream because we have this wonderful product at the store called Tofutti. And it's a soy, it's a tofu-based ice cream. And it is really good. It's non-dairy. And you know what? It's really good. I can give up ice cream because, I mean, it melts in your mouth like ice cream does. And it tastes good.
One of the things about ice cream is the feel of it in your mouth.
I know. It's such a treat.
It's a treat. And you go to an ice milk and that
it
changes.
There. It's just
changes.
Not there. I mean, we have tried product after product after product to replace the nice feeling of ice cream. We finally came up with one.
Yeah, and it actually gives that same feeling in your mouth.
Yeah.
That rich, creamy feeling
without being dairy.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anybody out there is an ice creamaholic like I have been, try this tofu-y non-dairy dessert.
What were some of the flavors you brought home, Paul?
Oh, they were so good. What was it? One was fudge ribbon or something, fudge swirl, and another one was chocolate cookie. And then they've got the yogurts, like mango yogurt. And a strawberry yogurt. Oh, it was
and
so
a banana peach
and banana
or something.
Peach. Oh, it was so good. If you're having a hard time with ice cream and you want to make a switch, come down and try these tofu-y non-dairy frozen desserts. They are really good.
And you have to realize that it's a specialty product, so it's not going to be as inexpensive as ice cream.
Oh,
but you don't need as much either.
It doesn't come in a very big container. It's just a small container, but I can make that container last a long time. It's
right.
Really good.
Now, this next category I must be guilty in.
Okay, what's that?
And that's the average American eats 7 pounds of potato chips. I think I meet my quota. But at least I get them at the herb shop. And it's a little healthier
better there.
And so, yeah, 7 pounds, that doesn't...
I don't get 7 pounds of potato chips a year.
You think about how much is in a pack. Of course,
when I open up
a package, I eat the whole package.
You eat my share. Well, those packages at the herb shop are not as big as you
That's
get
true.
In the grocery store.
That's true. And I guess it takes quite a bit to equal a pound of potato chips.
Yes, it does.
But still, I'm a little guilty there with potato chips. But at least I eat the best possible.
Right.
Look at the next one. The average American eats 22 pounds of candy a year.
I definitely don't get that.
I don't either. And the average American chews 200 sticks of gum.
I don't get that either.
A lot of that is laden with sugar.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on what you're chewing. This is the terrible one. And then you know that it's more for a lot of people. But the average American drinks 365 servings of soda pop.
360.
That's one a day.
My goodness.
And you know that most people that are hooked on soda pop do 4 or 5 a day.
Yeah.
See, there's a lot of us that don't drink soda pop at all.
So they're really getting our share.
And so they're getting our share. And anyway, when it averages out, it's one per day. Every day, day in, day out, for the whole year is the average.
Well, you know, we've got soda pops down at the store that are more natural if you're going to go try a soda pop. And they really do have a nice flavor to them. But even those, I drink maybe 5 a year for those. I just don't drink that. My goodness, I'm really deprived here, David.
Deprived, whatever. Okay, now, sorry about that. Now, the next category, the average American consumes 90 pounds of fat.
Hmm.
Now, there is a certain amount of fat you need in your diet anyway, so I don't know about that particular category. But here's the last one. And this doesn't count what you're getting in the other foods. This doesn't count the cookies and the ice cream. So this is just, I guess, added to the diet. But the average American consumes, besides with these other foods, 134 pounds of refined sugar.
You're kidding me. 134 pounds of refined sugar? You mean the white stuff in the bag?
Uh-huh. Right.
Golly.
That's how much of that is sold. Isn't that amazing? That's what we're eating.
I don't buy that.
Now, doctors tend to not think that we have a problem with nutrition. You just eat 4 basic food groups and you get the nutrition you need. The average American is only 50% of the average American population gets the RDA of A, vitamin A.
Only 50%, huh?
Mm-hmm. And only, it looks like about 48% get B1, and it drops down to 30-something percent for B2, and B3 is down there also. B6, 80% of the population gets that. So that
wow.
Does not...
Where do you think they're getting B6 from?
It must be that's more stable in processing of grains. Mm. So from their bread, I would imagine. B12 is down around 30%. C is only, this is an amazing one for me. C, vitamin C, the average American, only 40% of the average American get their RDA
vitamin
C.
I'm surprised because vitamin C's are sold like wildfire in health food stores.
I know. And the FDA's going to limit that.
Yes, they are.
Even though we're all deficient in it.
We can't have it.
Yeah. Calcium is about 68% of Americans get their calcium intake.
I'm surprised. Well, that's because they're drinking milk, right?
Well, if you can even utilize it. But they're doing it according to percentages.
See, they're getting the calcium, though. They're not utilizing it.
Yeah. It's about 56% for magnesium. But at any rate, I think what the point we're trying to get out is Americans are not getting the nutrients they need because they're eating junk food.
So atrociously.
Right. And we brought up on the program before that the largest percentage of Down syndrome babies aren't born to older women. They're born to teenage girls. And so almost all Down syndrome are to teenage girls and older women. Why would that be?
Because of the diet.
Yeah, because as we get older, we start losing a lot of those nutrients. You know, if we're not putting them in all the time, then a lot of the trace elements become less and less are in our diet or are even retained in our bodies. And so as we get older, then we're losing those nutrients. As far as teenage girls are concerned, it's because of their diet. They're living on potato chips and donuts and
pizza and Coke.
And you can't get the nutrients you need to create a whole healthy baby if you're not eating a whole healthy diet. You know, and some people may take offense at that out there, you know, that maybe had Down syndrome or something. But the facts show exactly that. Animal studies have proven that all birth defects are eliminated through proper nutrition. Animal husbandry is a business, and it's not good business to have a baby calf born without a brain. And there are no life flight helicopters for baby calves.
No, I guess there aren't.
It's not productive money-wise, you know. And so with animal husbandry, with agricultural science, they have found that they found 40 nutrients that will prevent all birth defects. And so those 40 nutrients, by law, are required to be in animal feed. Commercially produced animal feed has to have those 40 nutrients in them. And they have eliminated birth defects in animals. Now, they can take any one of those nutrients, withhold it, and create birth defects in animals. The science is already there. The studies are already been proven. Nutrition is linked, not only linked, is responsible for birth defects. A lack of nutrition is responsible for birth defects. Yet, guess what the requirements are for baby formula on nutrients? Do you think it's 40?
No, probably not. We think more of our animals than we do of our own young, don't we?
Do you think it's 20?
I don't know.
Maybe 10?
What is it?
It's zero. There are no required nutrients in baby food. There are suggestions, okay? The suggestions are, I believe, 12 nutrients for a baby formula. And most baby formulas have somewhere between 4 and 8.
Added nutrients.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's another reason to make your own baby food.
Well, either that or feed your kids dog food.
Okay.
Well, at any rate, I find it amazing that the birth defects are still around. With the science that's out there, with the studies that have shown.
Well, you know, humans are different from animals, dear.
Well, yeah, because we have life flight helicopters.
That's right.
Do you realize that for one of these major birth defects in a human, health care for them, by the time they get 25 years old, is $1.5 million.
Wow.
Now, I hate to put dollars and cents on things, but I'm not the one that did it. But you have to realize that if you can save 500,000 babies from having birth defects in this country, times that, times 500,000 times $1.5 million, and you'll see how much money the healthcare industry loses if they come up with a cure for birth defects. You know, people donate and donate and donate to March of Dimes and these organizations. They haven't done anything to reduce birth defects.
Well, at least they haven't looked into nutrition.
But they haven't done anything. I mean, nothing has been done. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And how do we get on that subject, considering we were talking about blood sugar problems? I guess it all goes to the same place.
That's right.
It all comes out.
We've got to have the nutrition, the proper nutrition, and we're not going to get it from the junk food diet that we all crave, it seems like.
Right.
We need to switch our, you know, and it's hard to change your way of eating, David, because you also have to change. Not only do you have to change your way of eating, you have to change your way of thinking about food. You have to change your buying habits when you go to the store, and it's not an easy process. And a lot of people get really frustrated over that.
They do. And also, you have to realize that sugar is just as addictive as alcohol.
It is. It is.
And it's almost the same thing.
And if you don't have a strong conviction that you need to cut down or make some changes, then you never will.
Right.
You need to start changing your buying habits. And if you're shopping at traditional grocery stores, stick to the produce section. Spend most of your money in the produce section of the store, even though it may not be the organic produce that has all the nutrients that we sell in our store. At least it's better than the refined food in the rest of the store.
That's right. And we would love to carry more produce in the store, but nobody buys it.
We enjoy it. We get these funny little ugly oranges and tangerines and tangelos in, and
they may be ugly on the outside, but they're beautiful on the inside.
And they taste so good.
They do.
You need to come in and try some of this fresh produce, because it is really good.
And they keep the price really low there.
We only mark it up enough to cover
shipping.
Mm-hmm. And that's all. I mean, we're selling it for beans.
We're selling it for what it comes in at.
We're not making any profit on this produce.
And yet it still doesn't sell. And, you know, I would much rather have one organic orange than four or five regular oranges.
And, you know, and those yellowfin potatoes are so good.
Yeah. And you can eat the peel and everything, not have to worry about it. See, one of the things they do in the food business is they don't want, you know, potatoes to sprout, you know, on a shelf there. Yeah. And so they put a chemical retardant on it to keep them from sprouting. So you'll go into the herb shop and you'll find that their potatoes maybe are starting to sprout. But, you know, you can easily, you know, cut that off.
And, we do all the time.
Yeah, we do. And the potatoes, like I said, peel and all, you don't have to worry about it. Baked potatoes, I love to eat the peel and everything, but when I buy commercial potatoes, I don't eat the peel.
That's right.
Yeah. So you have to be real careful with that. At any rate.
We need to open up the phone lines.
We'll open up the phone lines.
The phone number is 224-1400. And in Salt Lake, if you're listening in the Salt Lake area, it's 570-1400. We'd like to hear from you if you have comments about what we've talked about or have a question in general. We'd like to hear from you. But if you're going to ask a health question, please try to formulate it in third person terminology.
Right. Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning. I wanted to ask you, I turned the radio on while you were explaining the sugar up and down. Would you re-explain that and I'll hang up and listen?
Okay.
Thank you.
Very quickly, basically by eating parts and foods, foods that have been processed, we create a fast rise in blood sugar, which then has to be, it doesn't go via the liver. The liver is important in the regulation of blood sugar because food normally broken down and then stored in the liver, and the liver releases glycogen according to the physical needs of the body. Now, if you bypass that by taking sugar, highly concentrated sugary foods, then the blood sugar rises. And it actually can be eliminated from the system prior to the insulin being released. The signal is given, and then you have this rush of insulin, which then drops the blood sugar. And it's this up and down and up and down and up and down that creates havoc and disease. And so the way to resolve that problem is to go back to wholesome food. The word wholesome is so important.
It is.
That's in the word of wisdom. Wholesome is a key word in the word of wisdom.
It is.
Okay. Let's go back to phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, in listening to you talk, I am amazed that people are as healthy as they are. considering the types of things that people eat that I know. And
I guess you have to relate that to, I mean, what do you, healthy in relation to what?
Well, they function. They aren't, you know, well, they don't miss work.
That's true, we do function, but if you compare us to Aborigines, then we're not so healthy. Oh, anyway, what was your question?
Okay. 4 years ago, first of all, my family has a history of heart disease. So I decided I had to do something different if I was not going to have the same problem. 4 years ago, my cholesterol level was 185, and then I started this regime of exercise and fiber and fruits and vegetables and nuts and grains and so forth. And when I went back the next year, it was 170, and then the next year it was 160. And I've done even more things this past year, and when I went back, it was 185, the triglycerides are 143, the HDL was 42. I am at a loss to know what more I can do. Do you have any suggestions or any explanation for that?
I don't know what the explanation would be, but a suggestion on what to work on would be, we do know that fats are broken down in the liver. And so there might be a liver weakness that has developed that could be worked on.
I've been taking the liver cleanser.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what else to do.
Could it be things are breaking loose and being put back into the system to be eliminated?
That's a possibility. You know, sometimes when we go on a cleanse, the cholesterol count goes up in the blood. That's just an indication that it's releasing. It's breaking off from the veins and arteries and getting into the blood in the process of elimination. So all we're doing is seeing the body working there. And that may have something to do with it. I don't know. It depends. You know, if you've really gotten to a good cleansing routine, that may be the case, because we see that all the time. You know, people's cholesterol level will go up when they start cleansing. It's because it's starting to break loose.
That would make me feel good if that were the case. Now I'm not discouraged.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call. Yeah, a lot of times tests depend on the interpretation. And a lot of tests, you can go to four or five different doctors and get four or five different interpretations, or four or five labs and get four or five interpretations. And the same thing with the alternative health field, too. Some of the different modalities they have. One of the problems is, and one of the reasons the medical profession doesn't agree with them or discounts them, is because of the interpretations of the people doing them. For example, iridology. You go to four or five different iridologists with the same eyes, and they'll give you four or five different readings. That doesn't necessarily mean that the test is wrong. Otherwise, all these medical tests would be wrong because the interpretations are different. A lot of it depends on how to interpret. And like I mentioned, as far as blood tests are concerned, you know, cholesterol levels being high, is that an indication of health or non-health? You know,
I mean, is it's just the body working or not working?
It's just an indication the body is doing something. And unless you know exactly what the body's doing, I wouldn't jump to conclusions.
Well,
we had a person that had a high cholesterol level, something like 300. And we put him on a cleansing routine, and it shot up to like 400 or 500. And the doctor panicked and put him on a thyroxine. Had nothing to do with that. All the guy was doing his cleansing, you know.
Right.
And so by putting him on thyroxine, then they're really going to mess him up for life.
Right.
A high blood calcium level, a lot of times that's misdiagnosed, you know. They look at the hypercalcemia, and they go, oh, no, you know, there's too much calcium, and they'll withhold calcium from your system. But a lot of times that happens because of a lack of calcium. And when you don't have enough calcium, then the chemical is put into the blood to dissolve bones. And so then the calcium comes out of your bones, and at that time you've got a higher amount of calcium than you should. And so just one blood test, I don't think, can tell you enough of what's going on. And you have to track things for a long period of time, but who cares about tracking? You go back to eating the way you're supposed to eat and living the way you're supposed to live and exercising the way you're supposed to exercise, things will all work out in the wash. They really will.
I think a lot of times these little tests that we submit ourselves to cause greater detriment to our well-being than because of the mental, you know, comparing, oh, I'm not doing so well, oh, I've got to try to do this, oh, my level is up here, instead of doing what we need to know, what instead of doing what we need to do, that we know that is right to do for our bodies to eat correctly, we rely too many times on these different levels being absolutely correct.
Right. A lot of times I think we just can't tell from tests. Let's see, do we have anybody on the phone lines? Do we have any callers?
Yes.
Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Funny thing, I called to ask about a liver cleanse. I was reading the other day, my mom had sent me a copy of Sam Beiser's health report, and he was talking about a particular liver cleanse, and he was talking about something that you add to the apple juice called Ultrafos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a hard time finding anybody that carries it, and I wondered if you knew anything about it.
Well, garlic's the same. Garlic does the same thing.
What is Ultrafos? Is it a cell salt? What is it?
I'm not sure what it is, but, I mean, garlic does the same thing.
Okay.
And garlic can get in any grocery store. So that'd be easy to find.
Right. Could you tell me over the air, and I'll hang up, what you guys do for liver cleanse?
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, bye. Yeah, that was an interesting health article that came out, and I have no idea why they ever came up with that.
I don't know where Sam got that information.
But they use classic Coke as a liver cleanse.
I think, Sam, come on, guy. Come back to your tongue.
Yeah,
get straight
let's,
here.
Let's get back to reality here. There are dissolvents in the herbal field. True, you can take kidney stones and drop them in Coca-Cola, and it'll dissolve them. But
it also dissolves grease off the driveway. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
If you use that rationale, then you would think that anyone that drank classic Coke would not have kidney stones, and that's not the case. Now, combining it with other things, with olive oil, you know, they mentioned in the article about using a good grade of olive oil with classic Coke, and I mean, that just doesn't seem right to me. So what we would do instead of using classic Coke is we would use herbs that have a dissolvent action to them. And those herbs would be hydrangea, gravel root, and there's a really neat one out of Brazil called quebra pedra. It translated means break stone. And they actually use it in the hospitals in Brazil to break up stones.
So how do you use these herbs? Do you just take them orally?
Yeah, one of the ways you could do it, Dr. Christopher mentions in his introductory newsletter, is you take and you simmer hydrangea root in apple juice, and that draws the qualities out of the hydrangea, and then you drink that apple juice, and that has a really good effect as far as dissolving stones. Now, it may not work as fast as somebody wants it to work, but it works very well.
Very effective.
I've seen the quebra pedra work overnight. It's unbelievable. Nice herb. But hydrangea, I've seen that work really well, and gravel root works very well also.
Well, what about a good liver flush then?
Yeah, we mentioned one on the program before, and I think it's worth repeating. And it's a very easy one. You just take fresh grapefruit and squeeze about 16 ounces. And then you take 3 or 4 cloves of garlic, which instead of the Ultrafos, and it's so easy to get. Grapefruits are easy to get. Garlic's easy to get. And you blend the fresh garlic and the grapefruit juice in a blender. Of course, you want to peel the garlic. And then you add to that, 2-3 tablespoons of olive oil. You can add more olive oil, but
now,
that makes it very easy.
Why do you want to put olive oil in there? What does the olive oil do?
The garlic and olive oil have an affinity for the liver and tend to get right there to the liver.
So the olive oil kind of lubricates?
It does, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then what does the grapefruit juice do?
The grapefruit juice helps us dissolve it also.
So grapefruit could be a dissolving action.
And it's kind of a bitter effect on the liver and stimulates.
And the bitters are the best for the
liver. Yeah, and it stimulates. Yeah. And you could add to that flush something even more bitter, you know, like a dandelion leaf or a endive leaf and juice, and that would make a really nice cleanse. Now, other things that have been done, this is interesting. We had a fellow come into our store. He seemed like he was hopping mad. He said, "I tried your father's, my daughter tried your father's kidney cleanse." He said, "Oh, let me tell you what happened. You know, she ended up in the hospital." And I'm going, "Whoa." And he says, she took this apple juice for 7 days. And, then did this cup of olive oil on the 8th day. And she ended up in the hospital. you know, I'm thinking, well, you know, my dad always suggested 3 days, but 7 days, I guess, should also work. But she ended up in the hospital. And he says, you know, she was in so much pain, and she went there, and while they were admitting her, she had to excuse herself to go to the bathroom, and she went in there and passed a half a cup of stones.
You're kidding me.
The nurse retrieved them, put them in a bottle, and took them to the doctor. I mean, she passed a half cup of stones through that routine. So, yeah, natural methods do work. And other things we can do for the liver.
Let's avoid having to do that.
Yeah, a lot of things we can do for the liver. See, that was kidneys. But either way, you know, you get a kidney stone flush by combining bitter herbs with the routine. And then you'd get a kidney flush by combining things like parsley or juniper with it.
You just said kidney twice.
Oh, liver, you do the bitters. Kidney, you would use the like juniper, parsley, uvaeurcy, things like that. Another thing that can be done is you pour castor oil on a cloth, put the castor oil side down all over the liver area, and do hot and cold packs.
That really helps move it along. Yeah. You know that to work well.
That's right. Well, let's get back to the phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
I have a question about spinach. Last week you were saying something about constipation and the colon, and I was just wondering how you do the spinach. Do you eat it raw or cooked?
Well, if you juice it, you know, if you have a juicer and juice the spinach, it doesn't take very much. Maybe like an ounce of spinach juice will have a real effect on stimulating the bowel. Basically, what it does is it stimulates the peristaltic action, so your bowel becomes more active.
Now, can you add that spinach juice to, like, apple juice or carrot juice? Or?
I would imagine it shouldn't make a difference.
What about cooking it?
Pardon?
What about cooking the spinach? Is that good or not?
That doesn't seem to have the same effect, no.
It's the actual fresh juice from the spinach.
Yeah, right. As far as using it for a bowel stimulant. But, you know, there's other less harsh treatments for the bowel. And one of the best ones is turkey rhubarb. It's a nice tonic for the bowel. Used over a longer period of time, tends to give nice relief without a lot of cramping and such.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for your call. Other things that we would use as bowel tonics would be figs. You know, people just don't eat figs.
Prunes.
You know, we run into people all the time that have never had a fig in their whole life.
I know.
And never had a date. I'm not talking about BYU co-eds.
That's true, but, you know, and prunes and things like this. I mean, stewed prunes in the morning taste really good.
Right.
Or the prune pudding. I had to bring the prune pudding recipe back to the show.
That's yeah, we sure had a nice figgy pudding over the holidays.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. But, yeah, figs are something that people ought to start eating again. And they would help out the bowel. So a lot of these type of foods would help with colon health. And we shouldn't have to rely on harsh stimulations to get things going. And speaking of a real nice product, Dr. Christopher's Naturalax number 2. Find it at any health food store in the country. Or his fennel bee formula at the herb shops. It's been around since 1945. I mean, what a wonderful formula. And you can use it over a long period of time without any bad effects.
Well, and he put a lot of thought into that formula. The reason he put it together the way he did is because of having people try it and adding more things to it to alleviate problems that came up. So he put a lot of thought into that.
Okay.
Anyway.
I think we ought to take another call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
I was wondering what you would do to help heal a pancreas.
That's a good question. And we seem to have a lot of problems with that, especially with blood sugar regulation and everything. The thing that we would do for a pancreas is, of course, start eating properly. One of the things, we would cut back on a lot of protein consumption, because that really does overwork the pancreas, and the pancreas has to produce those enzymes to break that down. And so we would kind of cut back on heavy protein consumption. Go more to complex carbohydrates just while we're trying to work on it. There are some herbs that work very well. Blueberry leaves, also called bilberry. That's a very good remedy. And fenugreek is another good one for the pancreas. Also, Dr. Christopher discovered a herb here locally that grows up in the mountains, Juniperus monosperma. We call it cedar berries. And that's excellent for toning and stimulating the pancreas. Also, we could do the same thing for the pancreas that we did for the liver on reflexes. It's not as close to the surface as the liver is. I mean, it's kind of hidden behind the stomach, but we could do a castor oil fomentation on the left side of the body instead of the right side of the body to try to help with the pancreas. Also, another thing that we could do is there's a little science called reflexology, where we find reflex areas in the foot that correspond to organs in the body. And you can go into the herb shop and they'll have a chart there that you can look at and find out where the pancreas area is, and then just work that area of the foot. Rub essential oils into that area. I like the sensei they have there, and that would work very nicely.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for your call. Mm-hmm. Bye.
A lot of good questions today.
A lot of good questions, yeah. And in order to strengthen and tonify that pancreas, we don't eat the 756 donuts a year.
That's right. Or the soda pop. Go with it.
Or the 134 pounds of refined sugar.
Right.
Right. We better mention the sponsor again.
The sponsors are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and 188 South Main in Springville. And you know, in Springville, we have somebody working for us that we absolutely have fallen in love with. This gentleman is such an asset to our store. He works so well in any area we put him in, and he's such a nice man to get along with. And he's a little older. He's retired, but he's come into our store. His name is Dr. Birdsall. He's a chiropractor. We can put him anywhere and know that a job will be done. And it's so nice to have him there, because when anybody in our store, any of our work field, need an adjustment or need a session with him, he's right there to work on them. But you know, he also works on the public. And on Wednesdays, he'll make appointments, and you can come in and have a treatment from Dr. Birdsall, a wonderful chiropractor, still has a lot of strength in his hands. He knows what he's doing. You know what, David? He doesn't even use x-rays.
Yeah, we talked about x-rays last week, you know, and how it's cumulative. And if you're always going to a chiropractor and he's always x-raying you
to see where you need to have work.
Well, that's ridiculous. They're taught in chiropractic school how to feel if that spine's out.
And he knows how to do that.
And he does that very well. And he just takes his fingers along there, and then, oh, there we go. And he adjusts that and takes along there, and oh, it goes there. And his adjustments are very quick, precise, crisp. They don't hurt. And he does a very good job. The man's in his 80s.
He's in his 80s, and
he's strong as an ox.
He is strong, and he is vibrant, and he has a lot to offer. And if you are looking for a chiropractor or you are in need of an adjustment, you might want to try Dr. Birdsall. He really knows his business, and he doesn't prolong treatment. He has a lot of younger chiropractors saying, well, you're not supposed to do all this all at once. You're supposed to have him coming back 3 or 4 times, make more money off of him. And he says, why? Why should I do that? If I know how to fix it on the first treatment, why should I have them come back 3 or 4 times?
That's right.
And waste their time and waste my time as well. Let's fix it right the first time and have them go on. So you need to, you know, if you're looking for somebody, come in and try Dr. Birdsall. He's in the Springville location, 188 South Main. He's a great guy.
Oh, and that's so convenient, too.
It is convenient. He is such a great guy.
Right there on Main Street. So, yeah, come in and see Dr. Birdsall. Amazing that someone can still keep a profession going in his 80s.
In his 80s.
He's professional. You know what the average death rate is for medical doctors?
Mm-mm.
It's below the national average for just individuals. I believe it's something like 68, 69.
Wow.
And here Dr. Birdsall is in his 80s and doing just fine, still in practice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to phone lines. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, David, I have a question. When I was carrying my sixth child, the doctor that I was going to at the time insisted, because there was a lot of blood sugar problems in my families with aunts and different things having diabetes, he insisted that I have a glucose tolerance test. I can't remember. I think it was like a 6-hour one or something.
Well, but that was a real rush for the baby.
Oh, that's... and it was for me, too. It put me in bed for about 5 days. I had such a pounding headache that I couldn't even raise my head up. And that was kind of my question. I'm wondering, okay, and he wanted me to go and have another one too, and I just told him no, and he was going to drop me as a patient, actually, because I wasn't going to take the 12-hour one or whatever the other one was. I can't remember exactly what the time lapses were. And he didn't, but he really put on a lot of push that it was mandated and that I'd really need to do this. But now I'm wondering what damage it probably did to my baby, you know, that I was carrying at the time. I noticed some of the symptoms in her that worry me, and she has lots of leg cramps. She does not tolerate sugar at all. You know, she eats hardly any sugar at all, and she just starts not feeling well, feeling queasy to her stomach like she's going to vomit or something like this. So I'm just wondering what you feel that did to her and what I can do to kind of get her over these symptoms that she's been having ever since birth.
Well, whatever it might have done is water on the bridge, and it doesn't really matter anymore because all we have to do is start on the proper program and things correct. And we can make up for past mistakes by doing the right things now. And one of the things that we find so important in dealing with people with blood sugar problems or alcoholics or any of these things, and they're all related, is to get not just recommended daily allowance, but to get way over the RDA in all nutrients. And that then starts to balance things out. And so in order to get that, you have to concentrate your food. So you eat your regular food, plus you eat concentrated food, which would be fresh juices. That's the best way to get those nutrients. Also, herbs, since they're not grown through natural, your standard agricultural processes, a lot of herbs come from just the wild, where they're just picking leaves and things. Now, those contain a lot of the trace elements that we tend to be lacking in our diet.
Now, I've been given her a really good vitamin supplement that has minerals and everything in it. Should I, like, double them for a couple of years?
Well, no. To go ahead and do that and then add something natural, it has a lot of the nutrients that aren't in those vitamins. There's like 80 different nutrients out there that are possible links to sickness if we don't take them. And you don't get those in any supplement, but you do get them in nature. And so ground up herbs would have a lot of those nutrients in them that are lacking. And down at the herb shop, they have a little product called Vital Herb, which is just a whole collection of different herbs ground up, and that would be something that as an addition to what you're already doing.
Okay, thank you.
Ah, thanks for your call.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting correlation there. I'm glad you brought that up.
Right. And some of the herbs that are in that Vital Herb formula are grown in soil that dates back to the dinosaurs. I mean, you say it all dates back, you know, but I mean untouched. And so a lot of those trace elements that are lacking in your normal soil, and it's lacking because nothing's ever put back in, you know. They try to control the soil with six different chemicals, and it just doesn't work.
Well, and one thing nice about the Vital Herb combination is that it is really not a medicinal combination. It is a nutrition combination.
Right, and so you just take it with your meals.
Right.
And that'll help utilize your food better. It's interesting, over the holidays, I cheated.
I know.
In fact, I didn't only cheat. I really jumped off the wagon. And one of the things that kept me from getting sick over the holidays, because it seems like during the holidays I'll eat the wrong things and eat a lot of treats and things and get sick. And this holiday season I didn't, because, and I really attribute it to the Vital Herbs, that I was taking like seven Vital Herbs at a time, and I do that three or four times a day. And I noticed with my blood sugar, because I've had a blood sugar problem since I was young, but I've controlled it with diet. And I noticed when I do these treats and sugary things during the holidays, that my emotions just go haywire because my blood sugar is off. You know, it starts to fluctuate so much that I can't tell from hour to hour if I'm going to be dragging or you know, hyper. And so by taking the Vital Herbs, that just kind of smooths things out.
So you're counterbalancing.
And I think what you're doing is counterbalancing the imbalance of the sugar. Yeah. And that's one of the main problems with sugar, is that all the nutrients are gone that are supposed to be in that sugar cane or those sugar beets. They've taken everything out except for the sweet chemical.
Yeah.
You know. We ought to mention about the school classes.
We are going to start the next session of our school classes the first Wednesday in February. And again, each class is $20 per class. Or if you want to pay for the whole thing in advance, it'd be $100.
The whole semester would be $100.
And this is a series of eight classes, so it's 8 weeks. And it will be every Wednesday in Springville. And it's so fun to have these classes. We meet so many neat people.
We do.
We do. And this year, this term, we're going to start off with the class Super Immunity. Is that right?
That's right.
And like I said, each class will be $20, or if you want to pay for all eight at the same time, that's $100, and you do have a good savings there.
I've interested a lot of people would be that second class, and
What's
that's
that gonna be?
Emotional immunity.
Good.
So we go into what to do instead of drugs for emotional problems.
Right.
And how you can build your body to a point that you don't need, well, you never need drugs anyway, but that you can keep from getting these emotional highs and lows. Right.
That's a good class. It'll be good classes in Springfield.
Yeah. And so the last classes were very successful and very amicable, and they've been very, very nice.
We had a lot of people. We had like 20, 22, 23 people out to each class.
Yeah, and we have an addition this year that we didn't have the last trimester, and that is how to grow your herbs.
We're going to have a horticultural class.
That's right. And we have a gentleman from the Utah State Extension Service that's going to be helping us there.
Good.
So that ought to be really good. Let's go back to phone lines. Good morning.
Good morning. I got a quick question. We've talked a lot about the liver today. And if a person has a liver disorder, let's say a female, I want to word this right so we don't get in trouble with the doctors.
Right.
But if they have a liver disorder, would it be wise to get pregnant? Would it cause any damage on the fetus?
Well, it's always better to prepare prior to pregnancy. You know, I sure wouldn't terminate a pregnancy because of a liver problem.
Right.
And I wouldn't put off, you know, having children for very long, but and it shouldn't take very long to do a good liver program. And so the best thing would be to just work on the liver for a few months and then think about it. But you can accomplish really quite a bit in a couple of months. And definitely in 6 months, you can make a tremendous difference in the liver.
Now, this is another question. This person, it's kind of interesting. I've got this book. It's called Prescription for Nutritional Healing. You probably know the book. It talks about the fingernails, and you can find out disorders in the body through looking at the fingernails. And this person's nail started out as yellow, and then it went to white lines across the nails, and they don't look very well. So I kind of went by that, and it says that if you have white lines across the nails, then it's possible you have a liver disorder. And so that's the only information I've been going off of. And so I wondered if you knew anything about the nails and disorders linked to that.
Well, you know, there are a lot of different ways of diagnosing. There's pulse diagnosis. There's a tongue diagnosis.
Iridology.
There's iris diagnosis. There's the fingernail diagnosis. There's acupressure. There's hair diagnosis. There's a lot of different ways of diagnosing. But, you know, it all goes back to the simple basics, you know. You get the eliminative process working, and you get the nutrients up, and things correct, no matter what the diagnosis is. And sometimes, who really even cares, you know, what the problem is? If you go on a full program, those things correct. But it is nice to know, you know, that there is maybe weakness in the liver, so that maybe doing that, you can work on other organs stronger to take some of the pressure off of the liver. And basically that would be, if there is a liver problem, we'd want to work on the liver, but we'd also want to do a lot of therapy on the urinary tract, and we'd want to do a lot of therapy on the bowels to kind of take some of the pressure off there.
You know, there's a book that we give away at both locations called the 3-Day Cleanse Program, and if you're a first-time customer, the first time you walk into the store, you can have this book absolutely free. Or you can go in and look at it if you don't want to take it home with you. But on page 15 of that book, there's a whole internal cleansing program outlined to where you can work specifically not only on the liver but on the other organs, as David suggested, in supporting this cleanse, the liver, the bowels, the kidneys, and then working in with the blood as well. And so page 15 of this little book, the 3-Day Cleanse Program, would help set a program in place for anybody that just feels like, hey, I've got to get out of this rut of this daily diet that we're lacking in our nutrients and start on a new program.
And how many things do you get free today that helps that much?
Right.
Boy, it sure helps here, though. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, it does. One more quick question. With that wheatgrass formula 7, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that help clean out the liver?
It does. It
you
has
bet.
A little bit of work there. You'd want to add some real bitter herbs to the regime. Anything really bitter, any of the plants that are real bitter, tend to have a good action on the liver.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thanks for your call.
Bye.
And we mentioned before, garlic has a very good effect on the
yes,
liver.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Blessed thistle does, milk thistle, dandelion, a lot of different herbs. Barberry, one of our favorite. Barberry and golden seal, but golden seal is getting so expensive.
It is very
days.
Expensive.
Boy, they had another jump in the price. I believe golden seal now is selling for something like, almost like gold. It's like $80 a pound.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable, that particular. Of course, other herbs are very expensive, too. Ginseng. Wild American ginseng can go for as much as $200 to $400 a pound.
Wow.
Some of these herbs are like gold, but the thing is their action is so wonderful, too. One of the shames with the ginseng is that 90% of our crop is going to Asia.
Right.
Let's take another call. Hello, you're on the air.
Is anybody there?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm wondering if you could say just a little bit about the use of vinegar in regular everyday diet. Some of the books I read say don't use it at all, and others say it's just wonderful. And if you could just enlighten us a little on that.
Subject. Okay. Thanks for your call. Vinegar. Maybe a lot of it has to do with the types. And we totally stay away from distilled vinegar. We never, ever let distilled vinegar pass our lips.
No, we don't. We use it for dyeing Easter eggs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But as far as the vinegar that we use that's beneficial, it would be apple cider vinegar that still has the culture in it. See, these fermented products tend to be very good for our digestive system. And apple cider vinegar that still has the culture in it is one of those. And so that's the best you can get. Apple cider vinegar works, but apple cider vinegar with that culture still in it is a wonderful food for the digestive system. And a lot of people, apple cider vinegar isn't really, really high acid, and but some it's higher than some people's stomach acid, which is a shame because your stomach acid needs to be up there high in order to break your food down properly. And with a lot of people, just the acidity of the vinegar helps.
Right.
So it's a good digestive aid, whether you have a high acid stomach or a low acid stomach. And I really doubt that too many people have a high acid stomach. You know, I think most people just don't have enough acidity.
What's that nice little drink we put together? Apple cider vinegar, honey,
cayenne,
and a glass of water.
That's great. Maybe add a little bit of salt to it.
A little salt, okay.
Okay, let's go back to phone lines. Hello. You're on the air.
I have a couple of comments. I've read that lemon juice in water, taken totally without any food for 12 to 14 hours, will dissolve kidney stones. And also, I've used spinach for my bowels, and I just cook it and eat it. I get the fresh spinach and cook it and eat it. I've even used frozen, but I'll eat that two or three times a day for a couple of days, and my bowels will move naturally and nice. Without any problems.
Well, good. That's good to know. And also, yes, so you're absolutely correct. Lemons are a wonderful fruit, and will help to dissolve those stones. That's correct. Okay, thank you very much. And let's see. Do we have another call? Okay, good. Let's talk about the store.
The store, the Mother Nature's Market at 188 South Main in Springville, and the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State in Orem. Both locations open for you. They have the free book, 3-day cleanse program, if you haven't already got it. They've got a list there of the herb classes that are coming up so that you can see what days they are on and the prices for them. So stop in and pick up a schedule for our next set of classes. Come down to Springville, see Dr. Birdsall. Remember our Wheatgrass Formula 7 and Vital Herbs combinations, and I think we're about out of time.
Just about. But remember, we have those Champion Juicers.
Oh, we still have Champion Juicers on sale for only $199.
We always have Champion Juicers. It's a great juicer. It doesn't bounce around your counter. Is well-balanced. The only complaint I've heard about it is it doesn't strain the juice well enough. And that's easily resolved by putting it through a strainer. And if you want it really fine, you put cloth in
muslin.
That strainer, muslin in that strainer, and then pour it through the cloth. And then you get a real fine juice.
Yes, you do.
And anything finer, you'd have to get a Norwalk, which is starts at $1,200. Well, I'm sure that our time is up. There's the music. We've had a great time. Your questions make the program what it is. And until next week, be happy, have a healthier you.